Today's guest on Medeo Scientific's The Business of Lorwen is Jerome Vernet, VP Strategy and co-founder of Dracula Technologies, a French deep tech company turning indoor light into usable power for IoT devices. Jerome brings a rare mix of industrial manufacturing experience and ultra-low power design thinking, and in this conversation, we dig into what it actually takes to move from battery-powered sensors to energy-harvesting LoRaWAN deployments. We talk about how Dracula evolved from a small R&D lab with a glove box into a company with large-scale cleanroom production, why replacing batteries becomes a financial decision at scale, and why designing for battery-free LoRaWAN means rethinking devices from scratch. Jerome also explains where energy harvesting breaks down, how ultra-low power electronics unlock new markets, and what role autonomous sensors will play in future edge AI systems. This episode is sponsored by the Helium Foundation and is dedicated to spreading knowledge about LoRaWAN. If you'd like to try Helium's publicly available global LoRaWAN for free and support this show, sign up at metsci.show/console. Now, let's dig into the conversation with Jerome Vernet. Jerome, thanks so much for coming on the show. I'm excited to have you here today.
Thanks, Nick, for the invitation, and glad if I can bring some nice insight coming from energy harvesting devices powered, for any kind of LoRa application and so on. So
yeah,
glad to be with you.
Yeah, I first saw Dracula, I first saw it just, I think, a year or so ago in Barcelona, and you guys had the coolest card. Most people will just listen to this, they won't see the video, but I'm holding up this card that's got these little bat wings on it that are done in this little solar panel, and that's what Dracula does, these kind of indoor solar panels and a little copper connector. It's just like, it's the coolest business card I've ever seen. So that's like a nice way to start. Let's see, how did you guys start? You guys are based out of France. Walk me through how long you've been around, what you're doing, how it's grown.
Yes, we are all located in Valence. It's southeast part of France under Lyon. The company was established back in 2012. It's a deep tech company. So we started from scratch, from an idea. So Brice, my partner, Brice Cruchon, the CEO, started the company just getting that idea of printing something different than traditional graphic inks, because Valence is very well known and famous for graphic printing and industries. A big player worldwide, which is Image, part of Domino Group, which is all yep. printing for on the eggs, on the bottles, and so on, for the food, mostly. And the idea was, can we use this kind of equipment to print something different than traditional graphic inks? And it has been a European project that ran for 2 years. At the end of the 2 years, the major company decided not to proceed. And Brice, my partner, said, that's something, I do it. And I start the company. And he started Dracula end of 2012. And I started first with many years in R&D and I, mostly in the universities and the resources we have as a CNRS, Research Center Development. And we'll be able to bring some real activity in Valence in 2016 here, where we start getting and hiring people. So at that time, when I joined the company, 2016, we are 4 people. We are now 47. And we started from a very small R&D and I lab with a glove box and so on. And now we have a clean room of 450 square meter and adding a new one of 200 square meter now. So
that's a huge production line. Okay.
Yes.
So from glove box to clean room, that's pretty good.
That's a good move. That has been a very challenging move, but we made it, sure.
Yeah. And for folks who have kind of missed it so far, what you guys do is you make film that takes energy from light and turns it into something that IoT devices can use. That's kind of the simplest way to explain it.
That's exactly this. Basically, why Dracula? It's a solar for indoor. We don't want the name Dracula because we don't like the sun. We are much more efficient in the indoor light, indoor environment. So we use a graphic printer, traditional graphic printers, and instead of printing basic inks, we develop our own formulas and a blend, and we are printing these functional inks to generate the PV film, the OPV, organic photovoltaic. And all the products are carbon-based, no rare earths, no heavy metals.
And how thin is the film? I'm just getting into this kind of thickness measuring phase. So tell me how thin this stuff is.
The complete device, a thickness about 300 micron.
300, you said?
Yes, 300.
Okay.
And only the biofilm to encapsulate the product are about 200 micron.
Okay, so 500 total.
So the main thickness, yes. So no. Among the 300, you have 200 already for the biofilm. So our layers, the different printed layers, the 4 different layers, are into these 100 micron remaining in between.
Dang.
Very, very rad. We speak about nanometers. That's why we need clean room also to print this.
Yeah. Okay. So these things are super thin. They work best indoors. I hadn't picked up on the Dracula doesn't like the sunlight. I'd only picked up on the kind of vampire thing and drawing the energy out of the room. So that's cool to hear.
Yeah.
For the folks listening to this, they're into LoRaWAN. Mm-hmm. If you had to explain in one sentence or maybe a couple more why battery-free IoT matters to the LoRaWAN ecosystem, what would you say?
I would say that everybody, just to go a little bit backward. Back 10 years ago, 15 years ago, everything was on-grid powered. Nobody cared about energy, which was just on-grid. Later on, we say, it would be nice if I want to add one more. It's always becoming tricky to add a new sensor, a new IoT, and so on. I need to put some cables, blah, blah, blah. Not that easy. So I said, let's go wireless. So we've been wireless in that time. And yes, but we had another wire, which is the battery itself. That means when you use a product, you have to replace the battery. And something very important, it's when you display and you spread around the building a few sensors, tens of sensors, you can deal with that. So it's not a big deal. Now, if you think about spreading much more product, we speak about thousands, tens of thousands, millions of units, you can't imagine to change the battery. And I will take the example, the basic one that we have on the remote control. I'm home, I have no battery anymore on my remote control. There's no real pain. I can swap it. I can get one, use from another remote, or change it, and we'll figure out later. Now, as all the IoTs are using, and mostly using LoRa protocol and so on, to transmit data, because the key is the data. The hardware is only a way to get this. But without a decent and, let's say, efficient hardware, reliable hardware, there's no data available.
Yep.
So that's why we've seen, because the electric consumption went down, so that now we need less and less power, and we're able to collect more and more energy with all the energy harvesting technologies around. We have the light, which is what we do with Dracula. You have the RF. You have the Peltier with temperature. You have the vibration. You have many other harvesting technologies. And combining them allow now to power autonomously many applications. And the main part of the consumption in an IoT is not the sensing itself. It's transmitting the data. So that's why being able now to collaborate and work on some project we developed also with, we have a demo working with Assign, with LoRa. It's also with Murata, EPs, and different of the large players in that market to work on independent AI sensor that would be able to get a vision, in the case is the hand, and to transmit that information in a real time and very consuming, very low power. So in that case, it's a lower one, let's say, shortened distance that makes sense, and that's reliable. You're working with energy harvesting for this kind of application.
Got it. So, I mean, it is a real shift from where we were 10 years ago and saying, look, there's so much energy floating around. Let's harvest some of it.
Yep.
And use it for these things. And that eliminates most of the battery requirements. But there's still got to be some. Where does kind of battery-free IoT break down in the real world? What would you say are some assumptions that people just get wrong?
No, the funny thing is that now using this kind of low power electronics, combining this kind of a new feature with energy harvesting power solution, bring you to unlock new markets. If we know what speak one about, let's say, for example, retail tracking logistics, basic one. Everybody now is aware about RFID. Mm-hmm. We all know how RFID is working. It's a passive tag, and you send some waves, RF, and you get the signal, I'm here. Now, what we do with these kind of new labels, with new communication protocol, LoRa, it could also be BLE and so on, they are also able to transmit. That means we extend the reading range and you use some existing infrastructure. So that's why now we are unlocking new application and new feature. And again, because everybody is looking forward more and more and more data, the data is key. And again, nobody take care about the hardware itself. So the fact that we're able to team up with large corporates such as LoRa, so Semtech and other player, big player worldwide, to find new solution and push the boundaries of traditional limitation of batteries. Because we've seen, and it's still true, if you take a basic remote control and you check the thickness of a remote control, the main space is given by the battery itself.
Yeah.
The AA, AAA. Now, if you remove it and you go in a very thin, you don't need all that space. So you're also able to reduce the overall format and consumption of plastic and other product on getting something very much thinner. And that's the interest also of our technology of OPV, which is also flexible. It's to be able to follow the deformation and go and from the shape of the product itself. So this is unlocking mostly new application. Do not consider this to charge your phone. Many people ask me anytime, oh, great. And you mentioned the card that you have.
Yeah.
Oh, if I put this on my phone, I will. We made the exercise, just the math. If you want to recharge your phone with something as big as the one you have on the card we've shown you, it would take 2 years, 24/7.
Okay, so they're not super efficient for space, so you've got to optimize for power, but they work as long as there's lights on.
And everywhere you have human, you have light.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We do like to be able to see. That's a nice thing about humans, or an important thing about humans. Let's see, you talked a little bit about reducing plastic, but it's kind of blunt to say it, but most CFOs don't really care about sustainability. They care about dollars. At what scale, and you talked about going to thousands versus just like one remote control, at what scale does removing batteries become a financial decision rather than a sustainability decision?
I would say that the first step has been fancy and kind of nice to have. And it was and it was green. So it come back 5 years or 6 years ago. Oh, that's a fancy stuff. It was a nice to have. Reason why we attend many times the CES for, let's say, the consumer market. I'm glad, but I will not change the world by getting one of that device in my room. Now, if I'm using millions of sensors embedded with millions of batteries, non-rechargeable, disposal thing, you have an issue. And that starts becoming a real pain because you have to take care of this. Now, the manufacturer needs to figure out how he will recycle the product at the end of the life. So that's the biggest issue. Also, something very important, the material we're using are carbon-based product, no rare earths, no heavy metals, fully recyclable. It's PET made. This kind of PV is made at 99% plus of PET. So you can recycle the same way traditional plastic bottle. Now, coming back to how much we unlock, let's say for the CFO, if you consider that the battery cost 10 cents for huge volumes, 10 cents, and if my device cost $1, hey guys, you're 10 times more expensive. Why do you want me to purchase? I agree, it costs 10 cents. Now, how much it costs you to change one of these batteries? To send someone there, to go to on the stairs, to unlock the sensor, remove it, change it, swap it, take it. We don't care about the 10 cents of the battery. Plus, you have the first loss is ROI. That means how long it will cost me if I have to swap two batteries in the life of the product. You're done.
Yep.
So two ways to consider retrofitting the battery. You do it as anticipation, proactively. Say, okay, every 2 years I change the battery. Maybe you're throwing away batteries that are still full of energy. So you're wasting energy. Or you want to make, let's say, it's a corrective maintenance. Oh, my device is not blinking anymore. I need to go there. Maybe you lost much more money by not having the data available. So this is another saving. Now we speak about battery embedded in a product. With a new, let's say, regulation for sending overseas lithium batteries and so on, you have to make specific paperwork. You have to follow specific rules. This is a cost, also additional cost. So that's why one-to-one battery, this, no. Now, speak about how many times you will use it. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. All technology is guaranteed 8 to 10 years indoor. 8 to 10 years, and it's not binary. It's not on or off. No, it will decrease slowly. And when you consider 8 to 10 years, it's because at that time, we still get 80% of the initial performance, but we consider that it's no more efficient as initially, but still have 80%.
Okay, so after 8 to 10 years, 80% efficiency. Okay, so it's not going down that much. It could run, depending on how you design it.
It will take a little bit more time, maybe, to transmit the data. It was every minute. It could be every minute and 5 seconds. Okay. But you'll get something down the road.
Okay. So if I'm an engineer and I'm designing a LoRaWAN sensor today and I want it to be battery-free, what are some design compromises I'd have to accept, or how should I think about it?
You have to restart from scratch. It's the same thing that if I go with my old station Peugeot car to a Tesla dealer, say, hey, give me one of your electric engine. The guy will say, thanks, nice thinking in my company, but no chance. It's not only a matter of the engine, it's a matter of the overall conception. So you have to restart from scratch because many people try to retrofit quite easily. Oh, this is a battery powered device. Just plug your PV to replace it. We do the job. But the thing is, it's a completely different way of thinking. When you speak about battery, it's a tank full of energy. That tank full of energy has maybe 100 inside. And any cycle, you will consume 0.001%. After many cycles, you reduce the volume of that, the capacity of that tank. But when it's empty, it's empty. Mm-hmm. In my solution, I will never get 100. It's huge, 100 of energy. I will give you 0.1. Hey, that's not that much, but that's good enough to do the job. I'm giving you this anytime you need it. So it's that's why it's a complete different mindset to have in mind. And that's why We support also with by sharing some red design, just to help the people thinking about the application exactly. It's not big, is not always better. And mostly for that reason, because if you take many IoTs, and I have different in mind, the form factor is given by the battery or the size of the battery itself. I get a bigger battery, so it will be more bulky.
Yep.
So more bulky means more expensive, tough to recycle, more heavy metals inside. And down the road, the real efficiency, is it what I'm looking for? Not that much.
Got it. Super cool to think about.
Yes, design rules completely mindset. And that's the funny thing, that we have a team in Dracula, but it's existing in many of our partners active in the energy harvesting market that are expert in ultra, ultra, ultra low powers. I remember the first time I was presenting that kind of demo, saying, hey, I'm getting 100 of microamp. People look at me, milliamp, no micro. What do you need to deal with micro? Now we have some customer requesting about nano. Hey, for that application, we are using a BLE, an example chip, used worldwide, the consumption, 650 nanoamp.
Nothing, yeah.
Nothing, you don't need the bulky stuff. So, hey, good enough to power with 1% of that.
With a tiny little piece of this film that is maybe, for my American listeners, about the size of a 50-cent piece, a half dollar.
Yep. Correct.
Okay, yep. Or I mean, you could cut a dollar bill in half and get a little bit more. Okay, let's wrap this up with this idea of AI at the edge. Do you think that battery-free devices will eventually do kind of meaningful edge intelligence? Will they be able to power that, or are they just constrained to a simple sensor role?
No, all AI is related to data. And to get data, again, I get back on what I told you a little bit earlier, you need hardware, because the hardware will collect the real data. And after, you'll be able to crush all that data to get a very agile AI. So that's why, sure, we're only powering sensors, but sensors on the road are key. You want to sense the temperature, you want to sense the location, the humidity, then you want to sense how many people are in the room, you want to see how many people went there to get all your calculation and so on. So we are able to answer one part of the answer, but not all, for sure. But we know we are good at and where we are not good at.
Right.
Don't even you ask me to power your car or even your phone. And the funny thing, no, we are good at very ultra low power where it's relevant. And that's the most important. And what we've seen on our way with LoRa for the past 5 years has been to showcase that many applications can be powered autonomously, or we can even consider to recharge the battery. Many people are not considering the leakage current, but leakage current are huge. When you keep your TV on in sleep mode, it's not really sleep.
There's a vampire draw, sure.
Let us manage that for you guys.
Yeah. Oh, that's super cool. So there's also this space where you have UR films working alongside a battery or maybe a super cap or whatever.
Exactly. That's a combination. That will, to get the perfect answer, if everybody goes his own way, we are wrong. And that's exactly also what, again, LoRa Alliance demonstrate with the TTN show last year in Amsterdam. It was the first time ever that they invited all the different other communication protocol to team up. And by doing so, they unlocked many, many, many applications and bringing new options, new solutions, and opening new markets. That's huge. And that's a great move for me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was good they called it the Things Network and not the LoRaWAN Network from the beginning, because it opened the door to, you know, 10 years later, being able to connect with all the different things. I mean, you've seen a lot of different devices. You were talking about some cool stuff before the show with just looking at gestures, and if you hold up one finger, it says one, or two fingers to two, and three fingers three, et cetera, et cetera. What are some of the coolest or most surprising use cases you've seen for folks using Dracula?
We had a request from one tag manufacturer that asked us, because we mentioned about lux, we speak about luminosity, we speak about lux. And one sun for solar is 100,000 lux. So we are working with some measurement, and traditionally our PV are powered and we make the calculation, the measurement at 1,000 lux, which is 1% of the overall sun. The guy said, you said that you are able to go down to 50. Say, yes, we go down to 50. Say, okay, what about 10? Say, huh? What about 1 or 2 lux? No, we can. Let's do the test. We run the test. And at 1 lux, we've seen that our technology was able to generate voltage. Something crazy. Traditional PV that normally generate 2.5 volt was able in that case to deliver 1.1 volt at 1 lux. Something crazy. And the guy said, great, that's good enough for me. Because my application required nanoamps. So nanoamps, and if I have the voltage, which is the most important part for me, I do the job. That has been the craziest request we had.
It wasn't how big can you get, it's how small can you get. And do you see this? I mean, I'm imagining this gets used in mining companies where there's not a lot of light underground.
No, because even underground in the mining, you have light everywhere.
Okay.
Even in the mine that are not in use, as a safety feature, they need to get light always on.
Sure.
So
sure.
It's good enough to get enough power to send data. Temperature is okay. There's nothing, no special gas and so on. But in that case, it was for a label that could be work in no light, roughly no light. And it was
right,
a combination.
Some dark warehouse or truck
and
or something.
It was, okay. Exactly. And it was the same thing as a kind of a combination of technologies. And say, I need a little bit of energy. What I can get at one lux? We say nothing first. Say, let's try it. And we discovered it was still active.
Yeah. Oh, that's rad. Is there anywhere where you guys want to be able to explore that you haven't explored yet? Where you're like, this is what we're going to be doing in the next, 1 to 5 years?
In the different verticals, we were active. The first one, and we'll come back to about the initial question about consumer market and so on, which is for me something interesting to go green. And it's something nice to consider. But more than the green stuff, I would say that green, it's additional value. We need to make sure to be reliable at the right price, available. And if we are green, that's cherries on a cake. The different market we want to address, and it's something that we see, it's more and more basic sensor, the kind of install and forget device. You leave it there. And after maybe 10 years or whatever, the product will disappear. Because it will be made on material. We are thinking and doing some testing on new materials. Paper
right.
or some of them. No more plastic.
So just disintegrate.
Paper.
Oh, that's amazing.
So disintegrate to make sure that, okay, at the end of the road, nothing special. That's the kind of application that we are dealing with.
Oh, that's so cool. Right on. Well, Jerome, thanks so much for carving out time. I know you're super busy. I appreciate you coming on and telling us about Dracula.
My pleasure, Nick. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of The Business of LoRaWAN. If you want to go deeper and actually deploy devices, the Medio Scientific Console is the fastest way to do that. And honestly, it's also the best way to support the show. When you use the console, you're not just listening, you're participating in the same real-world LoRaWAN work we talk about here every week. You can get started with the free trial at medioscientific.com. Huge thanks to the sponsor of this show, the Helium Foundation, for supporting open LoRaWAN infrastructure worldwide. Check them out at helium.foundation. And if the show's been useful, a quick rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this really helps people find it and helps the show grow so we can help more people. I'm Nick Hawks with Medio Scientific. I'll catch you on the next episode.